I want to share a verse that I've been meditating on for a long time this year. Think about it a lot. Matthew 11, verse 28. We'll start there. Thank you, Lord. Matthew 11, verse 28. This should be read in your Bible. It's the words of Jesus. Come to me. All you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. Everybody say rest. And I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. So he's saying here for us to come to him, all those that labor and are heavy laden. And we need to realize that Jesus is not... before we go any further here, is not promising us a comfortable life. I think sometimes I thought that as a young believer that, as I learn these principles and apply them, that life is just going to be easy and comfortable and no problems and never any situations. Well, that may be fine in your world, but we live with others. Even if it was for you, you still have other people that are dealing with things, a whole lot of things. And if you are a Christ follower, you're his disciples, there will be uncomfortable assignments and circumstances you'll have to deal with. That's just a given. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you have tribulation. We don't want to hear that, do we? And there are no easy assignments. And picking up the cross daily is not living a life of luxury and leisure. So this word labor means a person completely exhausted. You ever been there? Due to nonstop, continuous work. This word heavy laden is a word that was used for soldiers about to go on a long journey. And the longer the journey, the bigger the pack of stuff you have to carry. So initially, it's a lot. It's a lot of weight. All the provisions, not only for the next few days, but for the next few weeks and days to come. And so carrying a lot, and that just adds to the load. And so when it's talking about being heavy laden, it's talking about being your backpack being filled with care. And so you may not be tired from a bunch of work, but certainly you can get tired from a bunch of care. Marriage, family, work, school. Hello over there, anybody? Finances, relationships. I mean, the list could go on of potential things that could be a care or could be a burden. One translation says this. It says tired instead of overladen. It says tired, worn out, burned out. Anybody here today? So obviously Jesus is talking to someone that's fatigued. And when there's fatigue, enthusiasm is reduced, efficiency is reduced, can lead to mistakes. You know, we don't like it if our truck drivers are fatigued. That could happen, prone to make mistakes, or someone handling heavy machinery. If you're fatigued, easy to make mistakes. So that can be dangerous. Fatigue, physical fatigue can be dangerous. But I don't think he's talking about physical fatigue here, because he's talking about refreshing for your soul. The soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so he's talking here about soul fatigue and not physical fatigue. And soul fatigue is a whole nother ball game. It's a fatigue that attacks your mind. You know, today I think we're bombarded with so much information all the time. A lot of us have some kind of screen. Some kind of screen. I don't know what's in these things that we've got to be here so much. You know, have you seen that at the restaurant and you got three or four people sitting there and nobody's talking? They're all looking at their phone. What's in that phone? I don't know. But you got your list of errands, to-do list. I don't know if you've been there, bills to pay with not enough money. Emails not responded to. Can wake up some days and whole bunch of emails. Anybody have any promises that are not being kept? Promises you made to people and you can't, haven't fulfilled them? How about emotions? Now, that's a whole other message. Emotions due to fear and worry and anxiety. And I don't know about you, but emotions can be like, we've got a pool at our house and we like have basketballs floating around. Emotions can be like, you're trying to stuff it down under the water. Well, what happens? They shoot back up. What do they say about depression? Depression is stuffed anger. So you're trying to stuff it, and it just keeps coming back up. So many decisions. What to wear? Is there anybody that's just like tired of wearing clothes? I know it wouldn't be a pretty thing, but I mean, I'm just getting tired of wearing clothes. Nothing to wear. What to eat? Has anybody ever been to the Cheesecake Factory? It's like a novel. Their menu. Just tell me what to order. What events to attend? I mean, that can just obligations that we have. Oh, here's a good one. What needs to be fixed around the house? I don't even want to talk about that. But in marriage, just so many things, and what happens is our souls, our mind gets overloaded. And our souls get fatigued. And that's what Jesus is talking to here in Matthew 11. And it can be just as dangerous as our bodies being fatigued. And the ultimate danger of the overloaded soul can be separation. Separation from God. You know, just so much space in our soul. Push God out. Separated from people in our lives. You can be separated from yourself. You ever just feel like sometimes you're just like you're not being yourself? You can be separated from joy and peace. And when you're in that soul fatigue, you know, I've heard one preacher talk about weariness shows up in the mouth. You can easily, when you're fatigued, say and do things you regret. Easily. And so I got a little soul overload test for you to take right now. Just a few questions to kind of just stir things up a little bit here. First question. Does it seem to things seem to bother you more than they should? For example, you've been eating with your wife for 15 years, and all of a sudden her chewing pattern starts to irritate you. I'm talking about little things that suddenly become an annoyance. Do you have a hard time even making simple decisions? Just kind of paralyzed, just so much hard to make a decision about just little things. Here's a good one. Our impulses to eat, drink, spend, or crave stuff even more harder to resist than before. I mean, it's just like you have no willpower, no self-control. Do you have a hard time controlling your emotions? It's like your emotions are just there on the surface, and any little thing will trigger those emotions. It can either be anger, it can be sadness, it can be a lot of different things, but it's like it's just right there at the surface. God didn't make us to be controlled by our emotions. Emotions are a good thing, but we're not to be led by our emotions. Here's a good one. Are you tempted to take shortcuts in things? And, you know, here's one. In your taxes. In your work. In how you handle things. taking shortcuts, taking the easy way. You just don't have the energy to follow it through. Are you continually making poor decisions, poor judgment about people, poor judgment about what you're deciding to do with your time? The list can go on. Just poor judgment. Are you encouraged right now, or are you glad to be here? Is your courage or your boldness diminishing? I heard this quoted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Causes you to back down, not being bold, fearful, timid. Remember the disciples, they fled when Jesus was crucified. They were timid, but later on they were willing to sacrifice their lives for him. And a couple other questions. You find yourself withdrawing from people. And I know introverts don't want to be around people as much, but you just don't want, you know, maybe withdrawn from church. You wouldn't know that if you're withdrawn from church because you wouldn't be here today. But we always say this, that if when you don't feel like going to church, that's the day you need to go to church. Are your spiritual disciplines slipping? I think this is an indicator. I was reading an article about in South Carolina, and they were talking about the decrease in church attendance. It was since 2012, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of churches have closed. This is in South Carolina. Many of the denominations, attendance way down. For some denominations, in the thousands, as far as people being in church. Are your spiritual disciplines slipping? Prayer, worship, study, generosity, reaching out. Now, you remember the story about Martha and Mary in Luke 10? Let's turn there. Is it possible that Martha was dealing with soul fatigue? Let's read that. Luke 10, verse 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work?" You ever feel that way? "Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." Martha, and this can easily happen to all of us, totally missed the situation and what was happening. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die. He's going to be facing the toughest thing anybody's ever faced. You know, talk about a trial, talk about tribulation, talk about pressure. I mean, he's about to face the toughest thing anybody's ever faced. And so going to the cross, it was weighing heavy on him. There was a battle going on between God's will and his flesh. And so Martha's rushing around on the big day. I mean, you've all been there. We've all had these situations. And thank God for the Martha types. I mean, we wouldn't get anything done if we didn't have the Marthas of the world. They're the backbone of most churches. But the problem on this visit, all Jesus wanted was some peace and quiet. He wanted to get away from the crowds for a day or two. A few things were necessary. Simple meal, some last-minute encouragement and instructions for his disciples, some fellowship, and some rest. Mary understood the big picture. Martha did not. It wasn't wrong what she was doing, but she missed what was happening. And so when we're weary, I think we can easily miss what God's doing, easily miss what his plan for our lives. You know, I loved Oral Robertson used to say, you know, miracles are coming towards you or past you every day. And I think sometimes we get so busy and in such a rush, we miss the miracles that God has, not only coming to us, but through us. We're in such a hurry, we don't have time for anybody. And I don't see that in the ministry of Jesus. You know, all the demands that he had, still he was able to walk slowly through crowds. Never seemed to be in a hurry. And people are dying, and he's needed to be there. And he says, you know, wait, I'll be there in a little bit. I got to deal with this. I mean, talk about someone that was just in control of their world, of their a soul that was strong, at peace, rested, refreshed. I like one paraphrase for verses 41 and 42 of this. It says, "Martha, Martha, you're anxious and concerned about all the responsibilities which you have. But actually, only one thing is really important. Mary will be able to keep what she is receiving for a long time. She has rightly ordered her priorities." And I think in this world that we're living in, we're going to have to rightly order our priorities. And, you know, sometimes we don't like to talk about the word balance, or we're going to have to balance the eternal and the temporal. And there's got to be a balance, because if you get overloaded in the natural, it's going to take you down. Now, I want to read some, to even further bring misery here, I want to read some disturbing facts and ministry trends. 1,500 pastors leave the ministry permanently each month in America. 80% of pastors and 85% of their spouses feel discouraged in their roles, constantly feeling discouraged. 70% of pastors do not have a close friend, confidant, or mentor. 30% of pastors said they've either been in an ongoing affair or had a one-time sexual encounter with a church member. And I'm not even going to get into the percentages about pornography. A lot higher than 30%. 71% of pastors stated they were burned out, that they battled depression and fatigue on a weekly and even a daily basis. I'm making a call for the ministry at the end of the service today. 1 out of every 10 ministers will actually retire as a minister. 1 out of 10. So why do I read all that about the pastors? Because if this is how the leaders are doing, how is the flock doing? If this is the kind of leaders that we're following, what kind of messages are coming from our pulpits? And you know how things on the parents are projected on the kids. I don't think this is God's will, those stats. And I don't think that God is wanting our personal lives to fall apart in whatever assignment that we've been given. I don't think that's his will. Matthew 16:26. This is a good verse to meditate. And boy, this would be a good one for young people, but I don't think they would think about this very much. Matthew 16:26. "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life, his blessed life in the kingdom of God? Or what would a man give as an exchange for his blessed life in the kingdom of God?" So what profit is to gain the whole world? And I think the media today is all about gaining the whole world. It's more about what you do. It's more about the signs of success that makes you successful. Well, I love this quote by Dallas Willard. He's in heaven now, but a writer and minister and really a theologian, philosopher. He wrote this: "The most important thing about life is not the things that you achieve, it is the person that you become." I'll say that again. "The most important thing about life is not the things that you achieve, it is the person that you become." Man, if we could teach that to our young people. What are we becoming? I think everything about school is, what are you achieving? So if you've got weariness in your soul today, and if you don't, you probably will coming up, what would I recommend? Well, simply put, I'd say run to Jesus. Run to Jesus is not just good when you make a mistake or when you sin. I think run to Jesus is a good mantra every day. Run to Him. I love the image of John at the Last Supper, leaning on Jesus' bosom, his chest, for us men, leaning on his chest, Jesus' chest. And I just love that image that he just, you know. Nate, come up here for a second. I'm about to make you real uncomfortable. Sit right up here. Oh! Okay, now how would... How's that feel?
Very uncomfortable. You can sit up.
I mean, that's a little weird. I've never leaned on your chest like that before. But I mean, he felt so comfortable with Jesus. I mean, that's amazing. And you know, we're leaning on something. We're leaning on something. And we're actually running to something. All of us are doing that. And what Jesus is saying is our soul, the best place for our soul to be is in His presence. That our soul needs to lean on Him. And really that is the place of safety. That is the place of refreshing, restoration. And so that's one of the questions I have for you today. What are you leaning on? I mean, and I've been there. I mean, you can easily lean on alcohol. Easy to do. But the problem, it doesn't make things better. It actually makes it worse. Because you're not dealing with the root problem. How about drugs? I mean, so many things about drugs. I mean, you are definitely not yourself. You'll do things that, you know, if you got sober and got clean, you're like, man, did I really do all that? But, I mean, that's the fatigue, how far this weariness can go. And so you think you're the answers in all these other things. Leaning into how about leaning into another woman? Either physically or online or whatever, or another person. I love the scripture in Acts. You're real quiet today. I love this scripture in Acts 3:19. So repent. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God. Run to Jesus. That your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean. The times of refreshing, of recovery from the effects of heat, of the reviving with fresh air, may come from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm putting Eddie on the spot here. I gave him a little bit of notice before the service. I'm switching to this other mic. Come on, period. Eddie has shared this publicly, so we're not like, you know, breaking ground to his family for the first time today. I know you've been through a lot, and I know one time you shared about going through some personal crisis and about driving across the bridge and thinking some dark thoughts. Share with us about that. You don't have to go into all the detail, but and then how did you come through that?
Yeah, so a number of years ago, I mean, I was just in a situation in my life. Business things changed at work. My dad had a stroke. A lot of pressure on me at work, a lot of responsibilities that shifted to me. And I kind of went through some dark days, depressed days, got down in a dark spot. And what started as just a simple thought, just dropped in my head one day, became something I started meditating on, thinking about, comprehending what would it, how life would be better if I wasn't here anymore and I was somewhere else. And so it became a temptation almost every time I'd cross a bridge to take my car full speed into the, you know, the bridge and just end it all. Because I thought in my mind, well, I've got enough insurance to take care of everybody. I've got enough insurance to take, well, pay the bills. And it just became a thing that was, you know, just on me all the time. And you almost couldn't get away from it. But what did help me in getting away from it was I'd come to church. Lindsay and I were just talking this morning as we walked into church about the days you don't feel like you need to be here or the days that you should be here. We said that this morning to each other as we walked in. But what I found is that when I'd come to church, the cloud, or, you know, some people would say the demons, but the cloud would lift, the darkness would kind of go back. And what I would do is I'd find somebody in church that I could say, have an encouraging word for, minister to. I'd find somebody that I could help. And in that moment of me helping somebody else, there'd be relief. There'd be something, it would come off of me, and I'd be able to go on. And it would, you know, so that's really, I kind of look forward to showing up and serving. I look forward to coming to church because that's one way I was able to deal with it. And to the point that it finally, you know, it left me, and I'm free. But it started with just a simple thought that dropped in my head, and that's why, you know, you should cast down those thoughts and stuff like that, but then you meditate on it, you think about it, and then you start playing it out and imagining it, and it can get to be this darkness there. But thank God I was able to, in the midst of all the stuff, keep ministering to people, helping people, letting the life of God that's in me flow through me, and to the point that it was able to, I was able to get all that stuff off of me.
Praise God. Sean Lewis, I've given Sean no preparation here. Come on up here, Sean. What would you add to that?
I mean, Ed said it real well. A few years back, I think it was sometime after that, I went through just a time in my life when no one thing, you know. Sometimes I call it a train wreck, you know, for a train wreck to take place, everything has to be timed just right, if you want to use the word right. And so, no one thing, but then stuff just starts to pile up on you, and if you let it, you know, we talked about that in the leadership meeting, it's kind of like putting a backpack on, and you put a brick in there, and the next day you put another brick in there, and the next day, and after so many days, you're carrying this load that it's just not necessarily bearable, and you don't always realize that it piles up. And, you know, that's why it's important for us to be here and to contact each other and look each other in the eye, because you don't know what the person next to you is hiding. And it's not a, you know, it's not that they're, well, it could be. I think pride was part of my problem. And but it's not always pride. Some people are just hurting and don't know how to deal with it. So you don't know. You know, some people use that word posing or putting on or putting on a front or whatever you want. And we come here and we want to please God, and we sometimes do put on. And that's the trap that the enemy is laying out for us, is that, you know, you can't appear weak and you can't be weak and you can't let people see that you're weak or that this has happened in your life. And this, I mean, this could be any number of things. And it can be little things that pile up. And that's what we got to watch out for. And that, you know, once again, that's why it is important. I didn't know what Eddie was going through when he was going through it. And I would shake Eddie's hand and say hey to him, and he and I would both smile. And there may have been times when Eddie and myself were both going through things at the same time. And we put it on. Okay. And I've made it a goal since I went through what I went through to try to, you know, look people in the eye and then ask them sincerely, hey, what's going on? And then on top of that, in my natural, I can't always see it, so what do? I pray. All right? And there was a gentleman in this church at one time, a good many years back. I knew nothing about what was going on in this life, but God kept bringing it up to me. And I kept praying for him. And it turned out to be a situation where he needed my involvement in his life, and he needed me to bring grace, not condemnation, to his life. And that's important, you know. And we got to realize it's okay to fail, you know. It really is okay, because we're going to do it. You're going to do it anyways, and hiding it, you know, I'm not shaming anybody for hiding it, because I've been there. My heart, you know, is sensitive to that with people. Hiding it's just it's too natural for us to do it, and we, you know, find somebody that you can trust, somebody you can talk to, okay. I dare say it would have been a whole lot easier if you had talked to somebody, right? And if I had talked to somebody when I was going through things. And it was a period, you know, just to show y'all how good I am at it, it was a period of about 4 years. You know, how many of you knew that? And that's not me condemning or shaming anybody. That's how good I was at hiding it. So there's two sides to that. One is we need to look at the people around us, and the other is we need to be a little more transparent, because it is a trap, and you just, that pack just gets heavier and heavier and heavier. And there's times, and I think it was Susie said that at meeting, sometimes you need somebody to come up and take some of those bricks out, you know, and help you.
That's good. Thanks, God.
Appreciate that, Sean. I know we could go around the room here. Natalie shared at the last leader meeting, what you shared was powerful. I mean, just we're talking about some of these things, and maybe we'll need to do that. Because it's like we sit here and look at each other, and we're all dressed up, and we look nice, and kind of it's easy to put on airs or put on something. And when we're going through fatigue or overload. So, I mean, I could talk about prayer and Bible study and church attendance, all those things about being in God's presence. But it's interesting what Sean was sharing is what was one of the main things I would recommend is James 5, verse 16. James 5, verse 16. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed, look at this, and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. I think that's part of getting the bricks out of the backpack. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Well, you're like, well, what does that have to do with the presence of God? Well, it says that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am, is in the midst of them. Is the presence of God is there. And I know we can use this for the wrong things, maybe motives to get money or, I mean, it can be used in the wrong way. But if your heart is for healing, to lighten the load. This is a pretty important thing to do, and one of the things I would encourage today. And again, I'm not saying going to everyone, hey, I'm Matt Judd, I'm depressed, I'm Matt Judd, I want to, you know, quit, you know, and I don't think we need to do that. But there are people, and because I just totally understand what these guys were talking about. I think that's kind of the culture even in the church in the earlier days and in the groups that we hung around with. It wasn't good to share any weakness. And so I was a part of that. And so as a pastor, I didn't share weakness. I didn't share any hurt. I had to be the guy with all the vision, all the anointing, all the leadership, all the different. And so it was like you're on this pedestal and you're having to carry all this load and you can only carry it so far. Not talking to anybody. I was one of those ministers without a friend, a mentor, confidant, anybody to share with. And so it hit me, and I went into a 9-month depression. You know, so I relate to that, Sean. Nine-month depression, and took me about 2 years to come out of that. And so it would be better to start while things are good, if they are good, if that's possible. But certainly, if you're going through weariness, find some people. It doesn't have to be the leadership. I don't think it should just be me or Susie or Pastor Nate or Pastor Christian, you know, because that's kind of, that can overload us as well. But find some people you can trust. And wouldn't it be a bad thing if, you know, I were to say, hey, Eddie, man, I've been having some bad thoughts, man. I've been thinking about, I've been driving over the bridge. And I know Eddie wouldn't be condemning me and firing a bunch of scriptures at me. You know, that pat thing we kind of do is like our, you know, response, what we're going to say every time. I think he'd show me grace. And that's really, I think, the key about being in God's presence is that the grace. The grace is what takes the bricks out. And maybe if it takes out bricks, maybe it can add something to you. Strengthening, courage, boldness, healing. So it's not just taking the care, it's adding something. And so his presence. And so I love Psalm 23. I don't know who this is for today. And we normally use it at funerals, which is okay. It's a great scripture. But think about this in your life today. Let's put up Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. To feed, guide, and shield me, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender. I love this picture right there, man. I'm going to stare at that picture. Okay. Fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. The New King James says he restores my soul. Now let me read the rest of Matthew 11. Close my sermon up here. Matthew 11. Let's go back to that. Come to me. You got to come. Can't force it on you. You got to have your heart open. And it's humbling sometimes. It's humbling to go to somebody and share faults. We got to, you know, keep up appearances. Gives grace. Looking for grace. Gives grace to the humble. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek, and humble, lowly in heart, and you will find rest, relief and ease and refreshment and recreation and blessed quiet for your souls. For my yoke is wholesome, useful, good, not harsh, hard, sharp, or pressing, but but comfortable, gracious, and pleasant. And my burden is light and easy to be borne. And again, I started off the message today saying our assignment's not going to be easy. There is going to be work involved, and there is going to be stress, and there is going to be tribulation, and there is going to be a devil trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And then if it's not happening to you, it's happening to your loved ones or people around you. But I'm saying that God wants us to live a long, satisfied life. I like this phrase, long-term, healthy, and fruitful ministry. That in the midst of all the pressure, we don't have to cave in. We can have souls that are refreshed. Again, not perfect. You know, I think it's Matthew 7 talks about the storms coming. The storms came to both houses. One was built on the sand. One was built on the rock. It came. So we're not promising you storms aren't going to come. But we need to build our souls, the foundation, on the rock. Build it on Jesus. And so I want to encourage you. You're here today. I think you're here. Let's lean on Him. Praise God. Let's stand, everybody. Hallelujah. Let's just give Him praise. Let's give Him glory.